What is up, everybody? Alongside my co-host Enrique Cisneros, I'm Ryan Marinholtz for the Mile High Flight Show. Welcome back. We know it's been a while, but we're pumped to relaunch the show for you guys and make it even better than before. And since we're starting in week 8, we thought it appropriate for the first episode back to be a nice mid-season reflection on what's happened so far for our teams, what things look like right now, and our thoughts moving forward. Let's start with none other than the New York Jets. Enrique, take it away.
Yeah, Ryan. So basically, the Jets are sitting at 2-5 right now. And I think we're sitting at 2-5 for a lot of reasons. I mean, week one, the San Francisco 49ers, defending NFC champions, you know, they let us know right away that our running defense wasn't going to be up to snuff, at least in comparison to last year. Without Christian McCaffrey, they still ran all over us. Going into right into week two, we had a little bit of a bounce back game with the Tennessee Titans with you know, the mayonnaise king himself, Will Levis. So at least not having to worry about a competent quarterback, you know, because at least with the 49ers, they had Brock Purdy. And, you know, he was still able to light us up for sure. But not having to worry about the quarterback aspect as much with the Titans had me relieved because I felt like, okay, if we lose to the 49ers, we have a bounce back game against the Titans. You know, that's a very winnable game, which we did end up winning. You know, and it looked like some of those things that we saw in the 49er game were maybe, you know, going to go one way or the other. The run defense still was lacking in the Titans game. Tony Pollard was able to get big gains against us. Obviously in that Titans game as well, we ended up losing Jermaine Johnson the second. We ended up losing CJ Mosley, and CJ Mosley, just barely came back a couple weeks ago himself. Jermaine Johnson was lost for the whole year that that game, but we were able to come out with a dub, right? So that's the most important part, get the bounce back win. So going from the Titans win into Thursday night against the Pats, which is big game, you know, short notice, you know, Thursday night football at home at Jet Life Stadium. So a lot of pressure on that game, especially being the Patriots. So, you know, and we whooped them. You know what I mean? So that was a good win. You know what I mean? Like 24-3, A-Rod looked great. Defense looked great. And particularly it made me feel good because the run defense was very, you know, very much present that game. Right. And it made me feel even better because at least at the time, and I don't care about the Patriots, so I haven't kept up with their passing statistics. But at the time they hadn't even had a wide receiver, you know, go over 100 yards at.
Oh, wow.
And so they were just constantly leaning on Ramondre Stevenson, and we were able to shut him down, hold him to 23 yards total, you know, on 6 attempts. Antonio Gibson didn't do anything any better, and, you know, we were able to lock him down, hold him to a field goal. So that's 2 wins in a row. You know, now we're starting to get into the tougher, you know, tougher games of the year. That's when we start getting into Buffalo. We start getting into
the hardest game of the year, the Denver Broncos.
We start. Oh yeah, we got into the Broncos. And see, the Broncos loss was really pivotal in my opinion, because we were supposed to beat the Broncos by all means, right? Because the Broncos were week 4,
I think. So 4 or 5, one of the two.
I think they're week 4. We played the Pats, Titans, Broncos, Vikings. Okay, so beat Tennessee, beat New England, and we're supposed to beat Denver, right? Bo Nix, rookie quarterback. The only player that they have on their defense worth mentioning is Pat Surtain.
Facts.
You know, no disrespect, at least at the time. Like I said, I don't keep up with the Broncos as much as I should, but we're supposed to beat the Broncos. You know, we have that long weekend coming off of the Patriots. We're supposed to beat the Broncos. You know what I mean? And low-key, you guys have become almost like a rivalry game ever since Sean Payton started talking shit about Nathaniel Hackett.
Which,
to be fair, I mean,
not valid. I love the guy. I appreciate him. I wish it worked out. But
I know he's my coach, but I'm not the biggest fan of Nathaniel Hackett at the moment, which, in all due respect, I can't even get into it. But back to it. We're supposed to beat the Broncos. We end up losing to the Broncos. Tough defense. Ugly game. You know.
Superstar quarterback, Bo Nix.
superstar quarterback Bo Nix throws for 67 yards and an interception, one for one.
Like I said, superstar.
Like throws a random end zone pass to who was it? Who ended up catching that?
Bro, I don't even know.
Exactly. That's my point. No, but in all seriousness, we lose to a very stiff Broncos defense. You know, and Bo Nix was serviceable. He did what he needed to do. You know, he got the one touchdown. That's all you ended up needing. A win's a win. You know what I mean? And he gets to say he won Aaron Rodgers rookie year. You know what I mean? That's pretty fire, dude. So, you know, and again, Broncos defense, you know, showed up that game. So lose to Denver. That's when the wheels start falling off. You know, that's when things start getting a little dicey. That's when I think the panic button kind of sets in. Cause right after that, did we fire Saleh? No, we fired Saleh after Minnesota. So we go to Minnesota. We're losing. It was tough because that was the one game I didn't watch because me and you were out running.
Oh yeah.
We were out doing our 10K that day, but you know, we're, down the whole game. And then at the end of it, we get an opportunity to win the game, and A-Rod throws the pick. So we lose to Minnesota. Now we lose back-to-back winnable games. We're supposed to be Super Bowl contenders. Now things are starting to really, really get hectic. Mm-hmm. You know, lo and behold, my favorite coach, Robert Saleh, was let go by Woody Johnson. The thing about letting go your head coach, especially one that I think the fans believed in, I think the players believed in, I know I believed in, and he just is a very well-respected defensive mind, helped change the culture of the Jets, helped change us from being a laughingstock around the league. You know, now we're kind of known to be like a hard-hitting, physical football team, you know, kind of a trash-talking football team. We're kind of, you know, like almost baby Ravens-esque, you know, San Francisco 49ers. Just we play with an edge now, you know. Mm-hmm. We're not the Todd Bowles Jets or the Adam Gase Jets where we're just getting made fun of all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Saleh brought that. So you replace Saleh with Jeff Ulbrich, which is just fine. I thought that was the only thing you really could do. You can't bring Hackett. Because no one's going to buy into that because of what he did to you guys.
How funny would that have been though? In like just awful way, like a monkey's paw. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you fire your coach to make it better. And then you hire Nathaniel Hackett.
Right. Well, and it's just, if they would have did Hackett one, I don't think that the locker room would have bought into it because
fucking freaked,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah. I think that would have like just started the mutiny because then it would have been like, and like, imagine what the media would have said.
Oh my
God. Then it would have really been like, A-Rod runs the team. You know, he wanted Hackett to be head coach. He got Saleh out of there so he could have, it would have been too much. So you bring Ulbrich in, which is great. I thought he was going to be a head coaching candidate at the end of the year anyways, because I thought we were going to be going to the AFC Championship game, bare minimum.
There's still time, my boy. There's still time.
We got a lot of winning to do. We're behind the puck right now. Essentially, we at the time, we could have only lost two games. You know, we have to win 7 of our next 9. We lost one of those games already against the Steelers. But we end up losing, we end up letting go of Saleh, go play the Bills, you know, Monday night, supposed to be re-energized and supposed to go exercise all these demons and do the whole thing. They relieve Nathaniel Hackett of play calling duties, which Saleh was going to do anyways. Then we go out there, we have a pretty good offensive showing against the Bills, still end up losing, still end up having penalties, still have a bad run defense, like all these. Still have inconsistent offensive line play. Tyron Smith, my man, is killing me.
Do you mind if I interject real quick and ask, like, because I was wondering what you felt about that, like, watching that as an outside fan, I did feel like there was at least somewhat of a improvement in the play calling and in the energy, but I agree that a lot of the same issues still popped up. Did you feel like there was any difference, or did it just feel exactly the same to you?
No, so one thing that, and I'm glad you asked that actually, because one thing that I really wanted Nathaniel Hackett to start doing was making Garrett Wilson get involved in the game plan. You know, so I had watched the Cowboys, you know, play against the Giants on Thursday Night Football a couple weeks back. Mm-hmm. And the Giants are, I mean, the Cowboys game plan was to feed CeeDee Lamb the ball. You know, right. They were giving it to him reverses. They were giving it to him on screens. They were just, you know, force feeding the ball right. to CeeDee Lamb to their best weapon.
Right.
In my opinion, until, you know, and we'll get into it in just a second, until another player joined our team, mm-hmm. Garrett Wilson was our number one wideout.
It's like, and, guess that Pokemon.
Right. Exactly. I know, literally, like the shadow. But yeah, so Garrett Wilson was our number one wide receiver. And he was not getting the ball. Now, granted, you're going against Pat Surtain. You're going against elite cornerbacks. They're game planning you. They're doing different things like that. But mm-hmm. Garrett Wilson's not getting the ball. So you have to make Garrett Wilson get the ball. How do you make right. Garrett Wilson get the ball?
Right.
And so that was one thing that I thought Todd Downing did wonderfully, was he started getting Garrett Wilson the ball, which mm-hmm. You know, came with different looks, came with different game plans, different screenplays, different – just different things in general to get Garrett Wilson the ball, get him more involved in the game plan. And, you know, but at the same time, we were still getting inconsistent play from Breece. Breece Hall, you know, the running back, we're still getting inconsistent offensive line play. We're still getting inconsistent time with Aaron being stable and having time to throw the ball. And so, and even more so, the penalties.
Yeah.
The penalties, these things that, when you talk about elite football teams just don't do these things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you just can't.
The Ravens aren't doing these things. The Ravens aren't, like, and there's just been time and time. The Denver Broncos, a perfect example of a elite organization.
Competing elite. Yeah, elite organization.
Very elite, you know, in the same sense that the Raiders are in that same conversation, and the Panthers,
totally, exactly,
the Browns, and now, unfortunately, we're kind of in the midst of that conversation ourselves, but we have a lot more talent on our roster and a lot more expectations and media coverage up in New York. So all in all, there's fingerprints in all of our losses to the same things, and the same things haven't been solved. Bad offensive line play, inconsistent, you know, offensive line play, inconsistent run defense, almost non-existent run defense, to be honest with you. And then injuries too. CJ Mosley, DJ Reed. DJ Reed has essentially been hurt since the beginning of the year.
That's
Michael
so
Carter
brutal.
The second. Michael Carter the second, you know, our star nickel corner who we just paid.
Yeah.
Same thing. Essentially, he's been hurt. CJ Mosley got hurt second game in. You know what I mean? We lose Jermaine Johnson. And I think the biggest deciding factor that has really like swayed me on the whole Sala thing is that none of this stuff has really changed, and we're definitely still not winning games.
Right.
And then the Pittsburgh loss was, I mean, absolutely gut wrenching. Like, to be honest with you, the Pittsburgh loss put me in like a anti-Jets mood for 2 weeks. Like,
I understand.
I just didn't want to talk about it, dude. I just did not want to talk about it because it's like, the Steelers defense is absolutely elite. Like, I don't watch a lot of Steelers football. And so the Steelers defense was absolutely elite.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had cornerbacks like that. I didn't know Joey Porter Jr. had developed that much since they drafted him. I knew Mika was still there. I knew, you know, Cameron Hayward was still there. Obviously, you got TJ Watt over there still. But they just have a lot of other guys that maybe don't have those big name recognition that are making huge plays. They had a rookie corner that picked off Aaron Rodgers with one hand. You know what I mean? So
it was a hell of a play, too.
Oh my goodness. And it's such a momentum changing play because it's not like he just picked him off. No, dude, Garrett Wilson was running wide open, and that man just reached that one arm out and just took it from him, man, and took the momentum and low key the soul from the Jets, you know, because I feel like right from that interception, we just bad play. And
was that the play that Devontae Adams chased him down to and did the whole way?
Yeah. Because he essentially brought it back to the 1 yard line. And that was Devontae Adams.
Energy, though. I mean, you got to love that, even though it's like a backbreaking moment. Like, That I will say is, sorry to interrupt, but like, and maybe about to get to this, but the speech after the game that they were talking about him giving and everything, and how hopefully that can kind of change some of the culture and the energy around that team. Like, that those are the types of plays that you guys really do need, because like you said, you guys have way more talent than a lot of those other teams that are struggling and in a similar conversation. And the talent is just not delivering to the expectations. And part of that, I feel like, is just the lack of belief and energy. And he was talking about like that Breece Hall 60 plus yard run, and like nobody on the sidelines was like you see a 49ers or whatever it is, Christian McCaffrey runs that far and the whole sideline's like, oh shit, they're like chasing him down, and like there's a different energy that just isn't there and should be, that hopefully Davante Adams can help bring.
Yeah, I mean, I think a player like Davante Adams not only just automatically sets your expectations higher, but it's the same thing like when a guy like Aaron Rodgers comes to town, and
yeah,
you know, you see the constant, professionalism in the locker room. You see the work in and out, and that hopefully spreads to the other guys and says, well, you see Davante Adams, 12 years in the league, and he's a league player, and he's always mentioned in the top three.
Yeah,
and obviously, I have to say he's number one.
Right.
But I've always felt that he was like number two, number one this entire time anyways. Like even in the Cooper Cups and the Jeffersons and the Jamar Chases, like all those guys do a lot of really, really good things. But Tay does a lot of really, really good things, like, and he has been for such a long time. Mm-hmm. And he's doing it with like really, really bad receivers and, bad quarterbacks, I'm sorry. Justin Jefferson does a little bit of that too. Davante Adams is just such professional. And I just know that not only is he bringing up the standard in the Jets locker room, but he's definitely bringing up the standard in the wide receiver room, which we have a young superstar, in the waiting. And I low-key get more and more nervous about Garrett Wilson every single week, because I'm just waiting for him to be like, yeah, I've had enough of this shit. Like, I cannot do this no more, man. Like, this is too much for me, because
I think sometimes he's got a great attitude, too much for me, though.
He does. He really does. And that's what I appreciate about him. He has a great attitude. But, all in all, we fired my favorite coach since Rex Ryan. And even Rex Ryan, like, ended up losing favorite coach status because he left us and then coached the Bills. So, it's just like we fired Robert Saleh and we are not improving. We have Aaron Rodgers. We trade for Davante Adams. We're not improving. Mm-hmm. We're getting Hassan Reddick back, which I'm hoping that's going to bring a little bit more pressure on the defensive line part. And so I'm hoping that that will at least help. It's not going to help the run defense in terms, because that's just not Hassan Reddick's thing, but it's going to help us get more pressure on the quarterback. So I'll take just him showing up to work anyways. But all in all, yeah, it's been utterly disappointing and gut-wrenching this year. But we have Davante Adams. We have Aaron Rodgers still. I'm hoping we can just start putting some wins, showing up to some of these games and making a little bit more of a show. And then we'll just see what it looks like, man. I mean? We still have a lot of ball left, and I don't want to say that we're not going to make the playoffs, or we are going to make the playoffs. I hope that we're able to just string some wins together, because I just want to see all these great players play in my team's uniform and have success, and just have some moments with them while we still have them.
Yeah,
especially with an Aaron Rodgers and a Davante Adams who aren't going to be playing with us forever. I'm just hoping that we can make something happen. But with that being said, dude, what's going on with the Broncos?
Well, first of all, before I get into the Broncos, I mean, just to talk about the Jets a little bit more, like, I feel like you guys are almost in a completely different yet similar place as the Broncos, in the sense that, like, they're, I don't know, it's hard to say as an outside fan, especially with the Jets having struggled for as long as they have. I can understand, like, the impatience of the fans, and that's something that I feel like the Broncos are struggling with, too, is, like, give him a fucking second, bro. You know what I mean? Like, take the time. And, like, Davante Adams just got there. I think that you guys have the pieces, especially if you can nail this coaching hire at the end of the year. There's still very much hope for this team. A lot of your good players are still very young and going to continue to grow and continue to develop. That's part of what I love about the Devonta Adams move too, is like for Garrett Wilson, having somebody to not only learn from, but then to make his job easier and make it easier for him to continue to grow, in the sense that there's not going to be quite as much attention on him. You know what I mean? So I love that. And then another thing on the Devonta Adams pickup that I really like is that, I mean, obviously you don't know with Aaron Rodgers because he's just so old at this point. Like, you don't know how long he's going to stay. But with Devonta Adams, I can't remember. Is he like 32? Something like that?
Yeah, I think maybe like 33. Give me a second. I got you.
I feel like it's at least not over 35, I feel like.
I feel like he's like a young old, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like his game is very...
Oh, he's 31. He turns 32 Christmas Eve.
Bro, he's got time. Because age-wise, he's got time. But then also, his game is very technical. And it's not like he's, you know, relying on his speed that can deteriorate when he starts to get older. Like, yes, there's an element of quickness that is a large part of his game, but the majority of it is footwork and just the intelligence and the IQ of, like, kind of like a Travis Kelce, just knowing where to be able to be open and be available for the quarterback. So that, to me, is encouraging for his longevity and being able to hopefully stick with you guys for a while. And that's a huge piece to have, man. Even if you don't have Aaron Rodgers, how many ever years in the future that he ends up retiring.
Right.
Like, if you still have a Devonta Adams, that's an instant, like, floor setter for your offense. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Let alone what we were talking about with the culture and his mentality and what he can hopefully bring to that locker room. So, I mean, it's easy for me to say as an outside fan, you know what I mean? But I'm like, I can understand why there's frustration and, I don't even want to say impatience, because like, you guys have been plenty fucking patient. You know what I mean?
Easier said than done, for sure.
Right. I don't know. I'm still encouraged, basically, is kind of where I'm going with that. And I'm excited to see what you guys can continue to do, especially with that new addition. I feel like it's so tough to like have an addition like that, and then the New York media like blows it up, and then there's all these expectations, and then you come out and lose against Russell Wilson and the Steelers. But it's one game, bro. Like, he's just, and then they're gonna start to gel, him and Aaron again. Like, there's still a little bit of kind of rust that you could see, especially like some of those first couple passes where the timing just wasn't there, that usually is like their bread and butter. Like, they're gonna get that shit back, and then I want to see what that team starts to look like. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and another thing, just to add on to that, is that's one thing that I'm still missing from Garrett and Aaron. I still feel like I'm missing that timing.
Yeah.
Like, that timing's not entirely dialed in yet.
Yeah.
I feel like the one that has the best timing with Aaron right now has got to be a tie between Tyler Conklin and Alan Lazard. I feel like Conklin is always in a good spot for Aaron. He just kind of sets himself up, settles down into a route, like a good tight end should, and just is always there for a nice safety blanket. And obviously, Alan Lazard being like a longtime number two behind Devonta Adams with Aaron. I just feel like, obviously, with Lazard, you know, you play with Aaron for a really long time, and it's just right back to it. The connection between Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers is one that I'm interested to see how it grows or alters with Devonta Adams being there.
Because,
you know, they should complement each other, but at the end of the day, we need to start winning some football games, you know? And so sometimes you got to spam the Devonta Adams button, you know, like just like when you're playing Mortal Kombat, you know, and you just got to spam that cheap move that, you know, allows you just to get that one hit and take away that, like, that health enough just to win.
Make your opponent rage quit.
Yep, you got to spam the Devonta Adams button, dude. And, you know, how's that look for touches on Garrett, and how's that look for touches on Alan Lazard? And I'm less worried about those guys. And I'm not saying that Garrett Wilson's like a diva wide receiver. I don't even slightly think that of him in the least bit. But I just, it's got to be frustrating to feel like you're not contributing to a team, and this guy just steps right in and he's contributing, you know, instantly, you know.
That's what
we traded the fucking fifth round pick for, you know what I mean? So, or no, what is it? Second. No, it was the Chiefs that traded a fifth for D-Hop.
Don't even get me started, bro. Oh my God. I'm still pissed off about that. That, like, bothers me.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's going to be your Christmas present. I'm going to get Dude, DeAndre Hopkins is so likable, bro. Like, he has the best story. He's one of the best stories in sports.
That's why I hate it. I'm like, go to any other contender, my boy. Not that one. Please.
Yeah. I was hoping, to be honest with you, and, like, I know it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it makes just the slightest bit of sense, because I feel like Zay Flowers is a number one guy, but could use one more guy up in Baltimore.
That would be so crazy.
Dude, him and Derrick Henry playing together would be like, I might have to be a part-time Baltimore Ravens fan if that had happened. But
welcome, brother.
Yeah, I'm excited to get a Titans D-Hop jersey. That's for show. I'm gonna go get me a Houston Oiler one, baby.
Right,
discount I come.
That shit goes so hard. Yeah, exactly. That's when to get them. Oh man. All right. Well, I guess let's jump into the Denver Broncos. As for the Broncos, the general opinion of the fan base coming into the season was one of cautious optimism, as the Broncos drafted Bo Nix 12th overall in hopes that we finally found our franchise quarterback after Peyton Manning retired. And as the all-time NCAA leader in games played, he came into the league as an experienced 24-year-old with still plenty to learn, especially considering the simplicity of the offense he ran at Oregon. Jumping to Sean Payton's much more complex offense was always going to be a growing process, and a growing process it has been. The Broncos opened the season, dropping their first two games against the Seahawks and the Steelers. Definitely a rough start to the season, especially when it comes to, I mean, I didn't really buy into it all that much, but the Steelers game with Russ, there's that energy there, even though he wasn't playing. They ended up giving him the game ball with his hamstring injury. Was that?
He was dressed.
Was that
the game he dressed?
I don't know. I was about to bring that up, but I was like, I can't remember if that was the one, but it kind of fits if it was that one. That's that boy. I gotta admit, man, like, there's this just ainty little bit of bitterness in me from how things went, but I still, even though he's a fucking fake ass low key, I still like Russ. I still root for him. You know what I mean? Like, I'm happy for him through this bitterness that I'm like struggling to like take away. You know what I mean? But
I just like Sierra. Like, I
Nathaniel
really
Ackett does too.
I really like Sierra. So I just think Sierra's a good person. I've listened to Sierra growing up my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fuck with Sierra, so yeah, I'm always root for. And plus, like, he's a third round pick, bro. Like,
right.
He did that. He run the ball. Like, he is a fake ass for sure.
You got to respect it, but, though. Respect
like,
the journey.
And it's not even low key anymore. It's just like, yes, you do have to respect like the overall story, like the very cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Like underrated small quarterback, right. And he's a color dude. I'm always going to root for color people to win. You know what I mean?
In a time where that still was not a normal thing in 2011, 2012, like it seems weird to say that because it was only 12 years ago, but that was the reality of it. You know what I mean? He was one of those trailblazers.
Dude, and not only that, but they put that fool on that new Michael Vick documentary, documenting the history of the black quarterback. And
yeah,
Russell Wilson's on the cover album of that shit, you know?
Hell yeah.
And also, one of the funniest meme moments ever was created by Russell Wilson getting drafted because of his ex-girlfriend.
Like, oh my God.
Dude, Russell Wilson ex-girlfriend meme is up there in the football meme lore. Like,
iconic, bro. What an upgrade, really, too, to go from that to Ciara.
To Sierra? Like, oh my goodness. Yeah, and no disrespect to the woman. No disrespect to the woman at all. But, you know, platinum recording artist, Sierra, like,
right.
Yeah, that's your wife, dog.
You're not competing.
No, you're you won, dog. You win, Russ. We get it. We get it. We get it. And the Broncos are paying you $30 million.
Oh my god.
And you don't even play for them.
That fucking Walmart money.
Oh, that Walmart money, bro. I'm telling you. Dude, actually, like, I love Russell Wilson. I love Russell Wilson for doing that to you and to my dad, honestly. Because I've had enough quarterbacks not work out for me.
Yeah.
I need, and this was like a big one. You guys were like, oh, Peyton Manning, bro.
Talking shit.
It's a bowl again. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
It was rough being here in Denver when Russ got traded. So
yeah, dude.
Yeah, it definitely felt like the second coming of Peyton, and it definitely ended up being the second coming of Brock Osweiler to the Texans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
God, like, damn.
Yeah, it was bad, bro.
It was real bad. I think that's part of the reason why I have that bitterness too, is because I wanted it to work out, man. I really, really, really did. Not just because obviously we want a quarterback, but like, I like Russ, and we've had discussions, you know, like privately about this, but it's like, he's already a likable dude. You talk about the story that he's gone through and everything like that. But if he just like dropped the personality, or the fake personality, you know what I mean? Like the facade, he would be legitimately one of the most likable players in the entire league. Like, he's just that dude, especially if he like, just went on a revenge path and like really just was authentic, and he was like, "No, nah, fuck this shit. I'm about to like just go
dude,
out
competitive
there
fucking
Russ. Yeah.
Competitive like, Russ could be a vibe.
The politics, bro. Just stop the fucking politics. But that's like I said, I think that's part of why I do have a little bit of bitterness, is because I wanted that to work out so bad, and it not only didn't work out, but it was like embarrassing. Like, it was really like horrific. It was so awful. The freaking was it counting down the play clock, because they just could not get the ball off on time, and the home fans were counting
legendary,
it off for them.
Bro, legendary.
That is never
bro.
Gonna go away, dude. Like,
legendary, bro. The walking around in a circle, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the let's ride. Like, come on, bro. Like, Russell Wilson
that picture
is
of Melvin Gordon fucking like side eyeing him, like just giving him the dirty look.
Or the offensive lineman literally screaming at him.
Yeah. There's so many. There's like a huge
dude,
fucking list.
The man is a meme machine, to say the least. Like
That time we were on fucking Nickelodeon on Christmas Day, and they had Patrick Starr, and he was like, "That's not what Russ wanted to cook on national television." I was like, "Fuck, what the fuck?" And we were getting pieced up by fucking Baker Mayfield, that at the time, like, I've always supported him, but he was getting like fucking tossed around the league, and he just comes in like, you know, less than a week before to the Rams and just fucking destroys us on national TV. Like,
that was
rough.
Because what was it? Because he did that like, where he like played like off like 4 days' notice or like 5 days' notice the week before, and just like balled out too. Do that game winner.
Yep.
Dude, Baker Mayfield has the craziest hot streak, dude. Like,
dude,
even now this year, right? Like, starting at like, I mean, low key, he's had a couple bad games, like as far as interception wise, and like especially bad game against Baltimore.
Yeah.
But Baker Mayfield has such a weird hot streak.
He's that dude, man. He's a slinger. He's like, to me, he's always been Brett Favre light. You know what I mean? Apart from the stealing from the poor. But like, in the sense that he just fucking, you know, tosses it around.
Welfare fraud,
yeah. He's very like, he will just go for that shit, whether it's a good idea or not. And sometimes it works out to bombastic fashion. And then sometimes he throws like four picks in a game. And you're like, well, that's that duality of Baker, but we'll take it.
Five touchdowns, four picks.
Right, exactly.
Like, literally 2 weeks ago on my fantasy football team.
Yeah.
Hey, still pulled out 27 points, boy.
That's what, I'm saying.
Still pulled out 27
more
points, boy.
Touchdowns than picks. It's a positive ratio. Like,
that's my boy Baker. That's my boy Baker. Let Baker bake. Shake and bake, baby. Shake and bake.
Man, dude, I'm happy to have Bo, but there's part of me that really wishes we were able to pick up Baker before he got picked up by the Bucks. But
dude, you don't even. That would have been disgusting.
Past. I know.
Right, past is past.
Yeah.
All we know is Bo. All we know is Bo.
Exactly. All we know is Bo. Speaking of which, Bo took us on a 3-game winning streak, defeating Baker and the Buccaneers in week 3, 26-7, after their red hot start, where Baker was just slinging it. But unfortunately, our defense showed up and just took over that game. And Bo Nix was still struggling, is still struggling in a lot of areas, but kind of like what you mentioned earlier, he's been good at being a game manager. You know what I mean? He has a great feel for the game, a great ability to know the situation, understand what is needed of him. I liked that in a couple of the games, which we'll get to later, the Chargers game in week 6, he was able to, although that was a rough game and we weren't competitive whatsoever until like the last few minutes, when they were playing like prevent defense and the game was already out of hand. I did like that he showed the ability to, like I said, that situational awareness and being able to go through a 2-minute drill type drive, be able to execute that well, pick up those chunk plays, you know, have command of the huddle and pushing people forward and saving time, spiking the ball on time, you know, like all that kind of stuff. You can teach it, but usually that is a innate quality of a quarterback. You know what I mean? That's just something that they have. And so that's one of the things that I've been really encouraged by, is that and his ability to, when he does scramble, which he's great at and he's very athletic, he knows when to get the fuck down, get on the grass. Don't take a goddamn hit. You know what I mean? I was watching Anthony Richardson the other day, and it reminds me of the first couple of years of Lamar's career, where I was right. Like, get on the ground. What are you doing, bro? Oh my God, you're gonna die in 3 years if you don't stop taking these freaking hits, dude.
I mean, yeah, in two.
I do, but yeah. Bo just I don't know that he's like the only contact that I remember him taking on a running play so far this season was in the Saints game, and he put his shoulder down, which obviously I don't, you know, really want him to do all the time. But otherwise, he has not taken hits, like hard hits. And he's not right. Like, if he does have the contact, he's giving the contact, which you right. Fucking love to see. And he knows how to get out of bounds, do that kind of stuff. But, you know, when it comes to everything else, I'm still skeptical. I'm not quite as down on him as a lot of Broncos fans are. I think that he's been missing a lot of throws. There's been a lot of inaccuracy. But when you look at the tape and watch what he's doing, I think a lot of that is caused by him having happy feet in the pocket, struggling to have that timing down on a lot of those routes, and timing particularly with his feet. You watch a lot of his throws, even when he has a clean pocket, a lot of those throws he won't step into quite how he should. And so he's off balance, even though he doesn't need to be. You know what I mean? And that results in he's had a lot of throws, you know, sail on him, but then also a few, especially in this last Saints game, where he just dirts it. And they were like short passes that there's really no excuse for missing as an NFL quarterback. And then you look at his feet and he's just all over the place. But when Sean Payton has run a lot of the stuff that he's familiar with from college, when it comes to like the short timing routes, like quick game, and then like RPOs, it's actually like incredible to see the stark difference in his footwork and in his like confidence and like just kind of air, you know what I mean? Like when he is doing those plays versus everything else. Where if he's like on an RPO, again, in the Saints game, there's a good example of a slant that was designed open for him. And yes, granted, it was wide open. But if you look at his feet, everything was perfect. There was no wasted movement. He drove the fucking ball right into the receiver's chest because his feet were exactly where they needed to be. He stepped into it. And so to me, that suggests, and maybe call it optimism if you want, but I feel like things are going too fast for him still. He's a rookie. It's been 7 right. games. So we got to be patient. And that's what I was talking about with the Jets fans as well, where I felt like there was kind of a similarity there. I was like, it's been 7 games, my guys. Like, give him some time. It's brand new to him. I understand that he's 24 years old, and so people are like, oh, he should already know everything. 37 years old. But
37 years old rookie.
37-year-old rookie. The next coming of fucking Kurt Warner. But
Brandon Whedon. What do you know about Brandon Whedon,
please,
my boy?
Please not Brandon Whedon.
I'm gonna go with
the Kurt Warner top. I like that one better than
Brandon
fucking
Whedon, my boy.
Browns Brandon Whedon, Mr. 27.
I know. Let's see how many listeners know about Brandon Whedon, my boy. I know.
It's crazy that that's like just not even like modern era anymore.
Bro, I know like random. I know. I'm telling you, like I just forever like. The Browns and the Lions and the Jets have this weird trinity of being like the three worst teams in the league.
You're right.
And so it's like, I know these little facts about these bad teams.
Yeah, you know, dude. Because
I'm a lover of bad teams.
I don't think if Dan Orlovsky was on ESPN, he would be known anymore. But I will never forget him for the fucking running out of the back of the end zone in that 0-16 season.
Oh,
the poor dude. And then Jared Allen's chasing him down. You can literally see him go, like, just laughing at him. Like, dude, you fucking idiot.
I know. That's the worst part about it. And Jared Allen was like a dick about it, too.
Yeah, dude. Which, to be fair, if I was Jared Allen, I probably would be, too. That's kind of hilarious.
Dude, you know who gives me Jared Allen vibes, kind of, now that we brought Jared Allen up? Max Crosby. Max Crosby gives me very light, heavily tattooed Jared Allen vibes.
I feel
just
like
the trash talking and the swag, you know what I mean? Like,
totally.
I don't know. He's a swaggy white boy. Jared Allen's a swaggy white boy. You know?
Yeah. If Jared Allen and Clay Matthews had a baby...
Dude, I miss Max Clay. Crosby. I miss Clay
oh
so
my
much.
God, dude.
Also, go pack, go, bro. For real. Like, you
Picked
know what I'm talking
Robert
about.
Sala, yeah.
Robert Sala with that fluid advisor role, my boy. What's good with that? You know what I'm saying?
Dude, like, those all white uniforms, too, are fucking fire.
Disgusting, dude. Absolutely anything. Fire. I'm just a very simple man. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
anything
yeah.
all white, anything all black, give
right.
me the all red.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll take all of it. I'll take
totally.
It. But my bad. We'll stay on topic. We'll get back to the Broncos.
Hey, it's all the topic, my boy. But yeah, I mean, just with Bo Nix, I'm encouraged by a lot of what I see, even though there's a lot of bad. And I think that things are still very fast for him as a rookie. Like we were talking about with him having the age that he has, I think a lot of people expected him to come in and just be one of those dudes like on immediately.
Right.
And to an extent he has, I think. He's shown a lot of good qualities, like we were talking about, with the awareness, with the IQ. But we have to give grace to the fact that Sean Payton runs one of the more complex offenses in the NFL, and most quarterbacks take a while to actually fully kind of get into it. And especially for him, where at Oregon, where he excelled, their offense is extremely simple. It's RPOs, it's quick game, a lot of running. Like, he was not asked to do a lot. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that doesn't mean he can't necessarily do it in the future, but he's not used to it. He didn't, even though he spent all that time in college, and people are like, oh, he has all the experience. He doesn't have the experience in doing the things that he's being asked to do right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
So, like, to me, again, call it optimistic, but my hope is that once he starts to get that timing down on a lot of those longer concepts that he has to sit in the pocket for, he's going to get used to kind of the flow of having like the 5-step, 7-step drop back, stepping up into the pocket, having that pocket awareness, not bailing in pockets that he doesn't necessarily need to, which he has been doing, unfortunately. I think he's just antsy right now. You know what I mean? And we've seen a lot of quarterbacks where that doesn't improve. So I can't sit here and say that like that it's going to, you know, but I'm encouraged by what I see. And I think that he has the tools to do so. But we just got to give it some time and give him some freaking grace, man. I know it's been ugly sometimes, but I will admit, like, I came into this season kind of like burnt a little bit just with all the rust stuff. And so I didn't have that like fire that I feel like people usually do when you draft a new quarterback and you're like, oh, we're fucking gonna get it now. Like, yeah, we got
right,
a new
restart, new quarterback, new jersey, new us.
Right. And I new jersey, new us. I I wasn't like pessimistic, but I came into the season expecting it to be a growth year. I expected us to have a losing record, and we might still. I mean, it's halfway through the season and we're only 4-3. But the fact that we're 4-3 through seven pretty games fire. With a pretty rookie fire. Quarterback, like
pretty fire. I'm 2-5 with a 4-time MVP, so trust me, I feel you.
And I mean, no offense, but we beat some teams that we weren't supposed to beat, like the Buccaneers, like the Jets, and so.
Well, the Buccaneers was a coin toss for sure. I didn't think anyone really expected them, even though they made the playoffs last year, to come out so hot.
Hey, speak for yourself. You guys, like, I believe in Baker.
I mean, yeah, that's true. But yeah, I mean, one thing that if I could just chime in real quick, even though I have been. One thing that I'll say about Bo Nix that I think he does really, really well is when Sean Payton and the offense allows him to kind of make these big moments and kind of step up and, you know, show the flashes, he delivers more times than not. You know what I mean? Like, he does deliver. And I think in the moments where he, you know, like, I think the big missed deep ball to Troy Franklin, you know what I mean? I that was something that, you know, he's going to learn from, and he's going to get those things right. And then even more so, you guys don't really have like a lot of like really experienced skill players right now, you know, like besides, I mean, what, who do you guys got right now? Who's 14?
14's Cortland Sutton. And that's the only,
Yes. That's the only one. Is like,
like, you can make an argument that he's like a like big name receiver, but most people will do what you did and they don't even know his name. You know what I mean? Because he's just not that guy.
It's truly disrespectful because I do think he's one of the better wide receivers in the league.
But he hasn't put up the production consistently to deserve that kind of label, in my opinion, even though I love him. But
yeah, well, I think it's a two-handed thing, right? You got to have a quarterback, you got to have healthy seasons, and you got to have a lot of other things in place for wide receivers to succeed. But I do feel what you're saying. I do feel like there's also got to be ownership from his side of things as well. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of things have to work so right in football.
Yeah.
And for teams to succeed, obviously, as you can tell by the Jets. But one thing that I'll say that Bo Nix does really, really well is he's more times than not delivering when he needs to deliver. And he's far outplaying my expectations. I thought that, you know, you guys were for sure going to be in the losing record. Mm-hmm. And I thought the flashes that he's shown so far, like the, you know, even in the, like the bad games, like the Jets game, right? The Jets game was really bad, but he had moments in those games.
Right. And then,
you know, the week after that, he had a better week. A week after that, he had a better week. And even if the total stat line may not show that he had a better week, he had more moments, or he had more flashes, or he showed something else in the next game that gives you hope as a Broncos fan that, hey, you know, maybe I don't know that he's going to be like a Patrick Mahomes level guy.
Right.
But if he's, I mean, if he's Dak Prescott with your guys' defense, you know, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
You know, and it just, hopefully he's a little bit more clutch than Dak. I think low-key just being a Cowboys quarterback automatically makes you cursed to be unclutch. Like, look at Romo. But ultimately, and then, like, everyone talks shit about Troy Aikman, like, literally being an average-as-fuck quarterback that's in the Hall of Fame. But that's not me. I didn't say it. Not my era. But that's what I'm saying is, like, if Bo Nix ends up being anywhere in that realm,
right,
you know what I mean, like, that's going to do a lot of work. And then you're able to maybe draft a wide receiver next year, or trade for a wide receiver next year, or, you know, I don't know. But if you guys get some guys around him, he's definitely shown enough flashes. And then for further developing, you know, like, getting Javonte Williams back in there has been helping him out too, because Javonte is, to me, the Broncos' like most refreshed player. Like, he's jumping off the tape again for me, because like last year, you know, coming off that knee injury, like he just was very slow, very sluggish.
Yeah,
and there's still times where he kind of still has that, but he's a lot quicker, and he's just, it just feels like he's got juice back in his legs, man. It's just so nice to see, because I love Javonte, I really, really do. Same. And Michael Carter II. You know, the Jets and the Broncos both took those running backs from the University of North Carolina. I love Michael Carter II. You know, I hope that dude's doing well. I'm not sure where he's playing anymore. But yeah, I love them both. And I know that he went to Arizona after us, but I don't know from there. So
I know all of a sudden I'm like, damn, where actually the fuck is he?
Which is sad, dude, because I thought he had a lot of talent. I'm not really, you know, I'm not sure what ended up leading. I mean, we've always had really stacked running back rooms. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that I've, the one criticism I'll give Salah at all, trust me, at all, at all.
Right.
Is that he stacked the running back room with too many young, young, good running backs.
Like, too many mouths to feed.
Too many mouths to feed. Some of these guys got to go. And, you know, Michael Carter was one of those guys. But
yeah,
shout out Bo Nix. Shout out Javonte Williams, dude, for real.
Facts, bro. And I love that point about Javonte too. And especially like this last week, because he has been struggling still a little bit this year. But again, not quite as much as like you were mentioning last year, just coming straight off that injury. It's been kind of like a nice incline for him, or like to get back to where he was. And he's lost a little bit of that burst. But this last week when they didn't like threaten his job, but Sean Payton mentioned that he wanted to see the rookie Audric Estime more. And you can tell in the play calling, they've been trying to get Jaleel McLaughlin involved more. I think he was like, all right, I gotta have a game. You know what I mean? Save my job. And he looked really, really good last week. Put up some really nice stats. And I think it helps too with that running game that Bo has been such a weapon there as well. You know what I mean? Because otherwise we would be really kind of struggling with that. This offensive line has been solid in protecting the quarterback. But they've been, I'm going to say, inconsistent on the run game. There's been some games where they look extremely dominant, and we have some really nice pieces when it comes to the guards and Ben Powers and freaking Quinn Miners, that I can't remember his name, even though he's like our best offensive lineman.
Right. But
there just hasn't been the consistency where we can rely on that run game. And you saw the difference in this last game against the Saints when they were able to have that be the primary offensive way of gaining yardage. And then they could set passes up for Bo Nix off of that and set him up with opportunities versus a lot of these past weeks, especially when you look at the play calling numbers between pass and run, it's been far more pass than run. Because we've been kind of one-dimensional and we just haven't been able to get it going. Partially, again, because of the running back struggling, but also partially because there just wasn't anywhere for them to run. You know what I mean? And the main running game that we had was Bo Nix scrambling from the pocket. So I'm hoping that that trend continues, especially just for Javonte in general, because I love him and I want him to be able to get back to the point where he was before, because that injury was rough, man. And you can tell it took a toll on him mentally and physically. So I hope that he can recover from that. But yeah, I think this offense has a lot to look forward to despite the struggles. And I'm interested to see where it goes. Now, with all that out of the way, let's discuss this defense. They lost some veteran pieces this offseason with Justin Simmons, who was the leader of this defense, I'd say since Von Miller left, if not before that. You could argue at least the vocal leader, because Von just really never kind of was that for that defense. And then we also lost Josie Jewell. He was wearing the green dot on his helmet. So he was calling the plays for the defense, kind of organizing everything alongside Justin Simmons. So those are two big, big pieces to lose. But I think that, ironically, it's worked out very well because this team needed – there was stagnation. Even though this defense was very good, there was a lot of stagnation and it wasn't improving how you would like. And the young guys were not getting the opportunities they needed to develop. I think when you think about PJ Locke, who was able to start this year – and only got some real opportunity last year because of Kareem Jackson, who had that the penalty for the unnecessary roughness because he just kept hitting people in the helmet. And he was kind of, I mean, I won't get on a tangent for that too much, but I will say, like, it's frustrating because I get his side of things where it's like, that's the game of football that he grew up with and how he was taught. And everything's just completely different now. But at the same time, if you're trying to be a winning team, you just can't make plays like that. on a consistent basis because you're ultimately creating negative impact for your team.
Right.
So they had to get rid of him. PJ Locke finally got some opportunity. He started to develop and started to look really good throughout that past year, and then started again this year. They let Justin Simmons walk into free agency there and then picked up Brandon Jones as a replacement, who has been fantastic, to be honest with you. I really didn't have a whole lot of expectations for him, but he's been a huge piece in our run game. PJ Locke has been able to kind of be that sideline to sideline top safety for us, and it's ended up working out really well. And then with the linebackers replacing Josie Jewell, we went and picked up Cody Barton, who has been like pretty decent so far this season and really showed out in this last game against the Saints. He had an amazing game. I'm trying to see if I can find all the stats that he had. Let's see. There it is. So he had 8 tackles, with 6 of them being solo, a pass defended that was nearly an interception, a sack, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery return for a touchdown that would get called back because of an offsides on DJ Jones. But he would turn around and do it a second time, and then that one would stand. So he did end up getting his fumble recovery touchdown. But what a freaking game, man. And he got AFC Defensive Player of the Week. And I feel like Absolutely. That really established well deserved. Him. Yeah, man. And first of his career as well. So good for him. Would love to see it for him. And I hope he can continue that. But then also Alex Singleton, who started the season as taking over with the green dot on his helmet as the signal caller for the defense, replacing Josie Jewell. He unfortunately suffered a torn ACL in, I believe, his week 2 or 3. And he ended up playing, like, he tore it in the first quarter and then ended up playing the rest of the game with no ACL. And he didn't, like, even realize. Jesus. Yeah, he didn't even realize. He looked completely normal. Like, nobody knew until the end of the game. And they were like, oh, yeah, he has a torn ACL.
Jesus.
So, you know, out for the season. But
what a dog, bro.
What a fucking dog.
What an absolute dog, bro.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of, at the time, I was like, damn, we are losing, like, a huge, huge, huge piece of the, not only the functionality of the defense, but the soul of it. You know what I mean? A guy like that is really hard to replace. But talking about those young players that just weren't getting opportunities, Justin Strnad was able to step in, and he's, I think, a 3rd or 4th year player, and just really never saw the field, partially because of injuries, but also partially because he was just so far down the depth chart. And he's been fantastic. And really, that defense has not lost a step, which I did not think was going to be the case after Alex Singleton went down. Yeah, so overall for this defense, I felt like, you know, like we were talking about, a few really important veteran exits this past offseason, and then Alex Singleton getting injured in the beginning of the season. This was going to be, at least I thought it was going to be, a rough season for the defense and a growing learning season for them, but they've been able to just come out swinging from day one and keep that momentum rolling through a few important injuries. And I'm really excited about a lot of these young players. Obviously, Pat Surtain is doing his thing, one of, if not the best corner in the league right now. And
absolutely.
And coming back from that concussion this upcoming week against the Panthers. Speaking of which, Bryce Young going to make his first start since he got benched in, I believe it was week 2 or 3. So we'll have to see how that goes for him. I'm supporting the dude, but, you know, not this week. So
yeah, I know. I was just going to say.
Sorry, buddy. Like,
I know. Got to show Bryce love, but not this week.
Not this week. Maybe next week if they don't bench you again. You know.
Oof. Is Andy hurt? Is that why?
He was in a, from my understanding, minor car accident with his family this weekend. So okay. They just did giving him time, which I respect. Yeah. I was kind of damn, you're going to try and, I mean, unless you wanted to, but I was damn, Cam, you're going to try and, yeah.
Didn't Cam do that? Remember when Cam flipped his truck?
Dude, and he, didn't he have broken bones in his back?
I thought so. I thought something like that happened. I thought he played.
For Andy, thankfully, what it sounds like is nobody was injured, or at least minor injuries.
Right.
But Cam is just a fucking beast. That's a whole different thing. Shout out to Cam for repping the Jets like we were talking about earlier today, too.
Shout out Cam. Shout out Andy Dalton. Glad him and his family are okay.
Facts. I'm excited for this defense. Overall for the team, I think at 4-3, things could be better and they could be worse. But again, like I mentioned earlier, to me, this was always going to be a growth year. And honestly, they're doing a lot better than I expected. So I'm going to take it. I'm happy with what I'm seeing. Are they blowing the doors off? No. But to me, that was never the expectation. So I'm excited to see what happens moving forward, particularly with Bo and how he continues to grow and develop, if he continues to grow and develop. But to me, the trajectory is pointing up. So we'll just have to see how that goes. There's a tough stretch ahead of this team after the Panthers game. They still have two matchups against the Chiefs. We'll have to see how that goes. They're currently undefeated as well, which is ridiculous because they haven't even played all that amazing
for the
Chiefs standard. And they just got D-Hop. Start crying. Two games against them. The Ravens, who are also blowing the doors off. Falcons, Browns, Colts, Bengals, and then one more game against the Raiders and the Chargers each. I think, to me, the Chiefs and the Ravens games are really the only ones that I'm like, yeah, probably not. Like, we're probably going to get fucking, like, just destroyed by those teams. But the rest of them... Go ahead.
You don't think the Bengals are on that list? Sorry to interrupt. I just feel like Joey B is that guy.
He is that guy. I think they've had enough struggles thus far as a overall team that I'm not willing to, like, close the door on it. But I think that, like, if we see the Bengals that we expect to see, you know what I mean? That, like, we should see, then right. Yes, I would put them in that category. But if we see the Bengals that we've seen for a lot of this season, I think they have especially with his defense, you know what I mean? If they can keep Joey in relative check, right. And Bo is not giving the game away, which he usually doesn't, there's a chance. It might be that small, but there's a chance.
Yeah.
From the rest of them... I'm willing to, like, give them a chance on it. I think that, like, they've done enough, particularly with the defense. I think this defense puts us in just about any game as long as the offense doesn't completely self-destruct.
Right. No, I agree. Well, and not only that, but, yeah, the Bengals definitely have been struggling of recent history.
Unfortunately.
So
I need them to pick it up so that the Chiefs don't repeat.
Well... See, this is the thing, is moving on.
You're like, yeah, good luck with that.
It's just, it's tough. It's really tough.
Unfortunately, but speaking of those Chiefs, though, let's go ahead and talk about that Titans trade of DeAndre Hopkins to the Chiefs. They got a fifth rounder that can turn into a fourth rounder if the Chiefs make the Super Bowl and Hopkins plays 60% of the snaps in that game. In addition, the Titans are also expected to pay around half of his base salary to make things even easier for the Chiefs. And I mean, you know, we talked about it. Like, I'm glad for D-Hop in the sense that he's getting sent to a clear contender. He's getting put into position to win in the latter stages of his career. And when he has been kind of one of those, like, Larry Fitzgeralds, that has just been like an incredible receiver with awful play around him his entire career, like the whole fucking time. So I'm happy for him. Wish it wasn't the fucking Chiefs. And I truly don't understand the logic from the Titans. I don't get it. Like, the only thing that I've seen somebody say that I was like, okay, maybe somebody suggested that their point in doing that was that they want the Chiefs to have, because the Titans know that they're not going to compete in the next couple of years and they're going to go into rebuild mode. They want the Chiefs to have less assets, like future assets versus current assets. They're like, all right, it doesn't matter. We're not going to beat them this year or the next year or whatever. So give them a good player now and then take a pick away from them in the future so that hopefully that contributes to them not being as good as they are right now going forward when the Titans can actually compete. So that's the only angle that I've seen where I was kind of like, okay. Otherwise, though, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Doing?
Whoever just said
random person on Twitter.
That random person on Twitter must have been a Broncos fan. Must have been a Broncos fan. Because, like, I get it. I 100% hear you. I'm just going to tell you this right now. It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. Fucking fourth round pick is not going to matter.
That's how I feel.
It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. Because the difference being is that the Chiefs you know, the sustainability of success, you know, starts with Andy Reid, starts with Patrick Mahomes, starts with, you know, the whole organization as a whole is centered around these big, you know, pieces, and you can move those pieces around. You can get rid of Tyreek Hill. That's fine. They'll still win a Super Bowl. You can have Travis Kelce kind of start his decline. That's fine. They're still going to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
And now you add DeAndre Hopkins, who, in my opinion, I feel like he's still got a little bit of juice left in him for sure. And I feel like he's hungry to prove that he still has juice in him.
Totally.
I felt like he was hungry to prove that with the Titans. His first year with the Titans, had an okay year. Nothing crazy. Had an okay year, you know. Obviously, this was going to be his second year with the Titans. Will Levis has taken a step back from his rookie year, which is, you know, Will Levis was always going to be a guy with a lot of potential, right?
But
never really a guy that we thought was going
good.
Been good. I know that was terrible. But the all bad jokes aside, Ryan.
Right.
He just has taken a step back. You know what I mean? And so the Titans, they have to do something. You know, and honestly, to me, it's one of those, like, you know, hook a brother up type of move. You know what I mean? Like, let me just, hey, we can send you to fucking anywhere, my boy.
Yeah.
Let me ship you over to KC. You've done right by us. You know,
yeah.
D-Hop hasn't been like drama. He's never been that guy.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, like when you see another wide receiver on that same Titans team, making a little bit of a stink about not getting the ball, making a little bit of a stink about not being involved in the game plan.
Right.
You have, you know, very zen DeAndre Hopkins, who's now potentially going to go win a ring in KC and help the Chiefs three-peat. So also from my point of view, so if the Jets had two more wins right now, I would be just as mad as you are. And I would not be talking so friendly about the DeAndre Hopkins trade, because we'd be a little bit more of a competitor as far as seeing them in January when it matters. But right now, I'm a little bit of a negative Nancy in terms of Jets land. And so I don't necessarily think we're going to be seeing the Chiefs in January.
So you're just like, fuck it. Oh, well.
Might as well root for DeAndre Hopkins. You know what I mean? Like, might as well root for D-Hop.
I get it.
But,
I'm bitter because it's personal. You know what I mean? With the Chiefs. And I'm like,
I know. It's that rivalry.
It's that rivalry, bro.
I 100% respect it.
Won the last game.
True. With who's your quarterback?
With Danger Russ.
Danger Russ Wilson. And also another classy thing about Russell Wilson, his Twitter handle is unmatched. How do you?
Facts though. Facts.
I can't. Such a good Twitter handle. Like fire ass Twitter handle. Like I'd probably have to change my name to Danger Russ. Like
right.
I would, dude. I'm telling you.
It's good. Consistently, like the whole time that he's had that, every single time I see it, my brain thinks that it's D'Angelo Russell before I'm like, oh, that's right. He has the whole like Danger Russ thing.
Yeah. Plus, doesn't D'Angelo Russell go by D'Lo?
True. Yeah. I don't know. I assume that's probably his social media handles too, but that's a good point. He doesn't even really go as Russ. I just call him that.
Right. That's your personal nickname for him.
Yeah. It's just easy. But yeah, I know. Side tangent, but every single time I see that, that's what I think of.
It's hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to view it objectively. Glad for D-Hop. Glad he's with the contender who's most likely going to win a ring. But like,
possibly. I think the Ravens are going to be.
Dude, I hope so. But I'm Derek not even going to say it because I don't want to jinx it.
I know. I just did. I'm going to knock.
Right.
Derrick Henry looks crazy. Derrick Henry looks crazy. Lamar looks crazy. If the defense starts getting back into that normal Ravens kind of vibe, I think it might be tough. It might be tough.
Hey, man, I hope so. But, I mean, we're just going to have to see. And right now I'm concerned. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty, like, I'm almost resigning myself to the reality, especially with them being 6-0. But we're just going to have to see how the season plays out. This certainly doesn't help matters as far as that's concerned. But you know what? If that's the price we have to pay, for a Chiefs three-peat is that fucking DeAndre Hopkins finally gets his ring after being tortured for like 11 years or however long he's been in the league.
Right.
I'm not going to say that's fine, but at least there's something positive coming out of it.
There's a silver lining.
There you go. All right, so let's run through a few more news stories for you guys. Alvin Kamara, who was discussed by some as a potential trade option for the Denver Broncos because of his link to Sean Payton, signed a two-year, $24.5 million extension to keep him with the Saints through 2026 and setting him up with the possibility of retiring as a Saint. Honestly, for me, like, and the only reason we're really even talking about this is because there was a talk of him coming to Denver, and despite the running back struggles, I really did not feel like that was going to be a good move for the Denver Broncos, nor really picking up anybody in the trade deadline here. We'll just have to see how that goes in general. But I like the idea of just sitting with, you know, you're in a tough cap situation this year. It's going to open up some cap space next year once that rest contract, the dead money goes away. Just ride it out. Just let your young guys get experience. Yes, we're going to probably need to get some more veterans in here, but to me, wait until the offseason, wait until midseason next year, or even the year after that, once there's been some growth, some development, and you're more in a position to actually win, because it just doesn't make any sense to me to go and trade for somebody when it doesn't seem like a realistic possibility for us to, like, if we make the playoffs, that right. is like a Super Bowl season for the expectations that this team should have. You know what right. I mean? Like, just comparatively, I don't think even if we made the playoffs and it's like every given Sunday and all that kind of stuff, we're not, hey, maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but we're not going to win the fucking Super Bowl. So why right. are you going to go trade for this aging veteran who can help you now, but he's not going to help you when you need the help? So good for him. Glad he's going to be able to retire as a Saint. I think that makes more sense for his career anyway. And yeah, what do you feel about that?
I mean, to be honest with you, I've loved Alvin Kamara's like kind of resurgence. Mm-hmm. I kind of thought when he was having like his rough patch, you know, a couple years ago and kind of getting hurt and not being able to be as productive and not being able to be on the field as much. Everyone kind of slept on him and yeah. kind of forgot about, you know, the kind of threat he is.
Right.
But I 100% agree. I don't think that this was a move for the Broncos. I don't think that, I mean, it definitely would have helped as far as like making some plays in the now.
Right.
But if you guys end up going, you know, 500, you know, to end right. the year, then what did Alvin Kamara really do besides cost right. you a fourth round draft pick or,
yeah.
or fourth that turned into a third or a third and something else, or
right,
you know, you guys don't really have the money for it anyways. And you know, it's just spoiled to be spoiled, you know what I mean? There's just there's no rhyme or reason for it, mm-hmm. which is why I, you know, dismissed the rumors immediately. I wasn't yeah. even, you know, and then I was surprised that the Saints paid him, to be honest. I
didn't
I didn't think that was where they were gonna go with it. I thought they were gonna take the opportunity to just let him kind of give him some production and let mm-hmm. him rest right off into the sunset and go to another right. team and let him do his thing. But shout out Alvin Kamara. Glad that he got paid. Glad he's going to be able to potentially retire with one team. I think that's really big for a player. Mm-hmm. At least in my opinion, I've always liked when players are able to kind of stick it out with one team.
Yeah.
You know, there's times where it makes sense, like Peyton with the Broncos, Tom with mm-hmm. the Buccaneers, Aaron with the Jets, Devontae with the Jets. You know, there's times where it makes sense to kind of swap teams. You know, Antonio Brown to the Raiders. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The Bills first, then the Raiders.
Right.
Bills for 3 seconds.
The Bills for 3 seconds, and then he said, "I'm not fucking playing there." And then then he went to Oakland and that was crazy.
Froze his feet.
But, right. But no, in all seriousness, yeah, good for Alvin Kamara, good for the Saints.
Facts.
And yeah, I'm hoping to see him score a lot more touchdowns.
Yeah, man. All right. Next story here. After Aiden McConnell's thumb injury that will put him on IR and Gardner Minshew's three picks after coming in to relieve Aiden, the Raiders signed former Falcons QB Desmond Ridder off the Cardinals practice squad, putting him in line to potentially start at some point this season. And I mean, for a Raiders team that's just spiraling right now, I think that makes sense. Go take, you know, a flyer on a young quarterback that has had some experience and hasn't been awesome. But I think that he's not someone who you're saying is like, oh, there's no way he's going to potentially be a starting quarterback. He's still got that in him potentially. I liked the move of going to the Cardinals, sitting behind Kyler, just trying to learn, trying to grow instead of because I think he potentially could have gotten like a stopgap job somewhere, stopgap job somewhere this year. And he and obviously is looks like that's going to end up being the case. But I like how it, things have kind of turned out for him. I think that's going to be a good opportunity for him. I think he's a good fit with the Raiders. And yeah, we'll just have to see how it goes.
So I'm not a big believer in Desmond Ridder like that. I just feel like there was an opportunity to get a quarterback that, and I mean, there still is opportunities to get another quarterback, but, where does like a Joe Flacco come into a situation like this? Where does a Kenny Pickett come into a situation like this?
True, true.
You know what I mean? Like, what's he doing in Philly right now? Not shit. Now, I'm not saying that Kenny Pickett's any better than a homeboy, you know what I mean? But what I'm saying is Kenny Pickett comes with a little bit more pedigree. Kenny Pickett comes with a little bit more of a unanswered question that is at least worth probing a little bit more, you know what I mean?
I agree with that, yeah.
And then, honestly, where's a big trade? Where's like a, you know, a maybe, and I'm just going to have to say this name just kind of, big trade name, you know, but like, where's a Bryce Young, you know, trade trying to happen? Where's a, you know, just where is, you know, even a Russell Wilson, you know, it just like
at the beginning of the year, at this point,
right? Or Justin Fields. It's just like in the beginning of the year, did we not think that Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, like we thought Gardner Minshew was the answer? And obviously that's what Vegas thought. But when that didn't start happening, then it was like, okay, well, what are our other options? And I just felt like the option of Desmond Ridder gives me more questions than it really does anything else. Cause I just don't see him. I don't see him bringing just keep the two guys you got now, just ride them guys out. You know what I mean? Just, I just don't see the level of Desmond Ridder at this moment in his career. And he's a very young quarterback. He still has plenty of time to prove me wrong, but I just don't see the level of quarterback that Desmond Ridder right now is going to make a difference for the Las Vegas Raiders, especially not having Davante Adams and you know all of those things. And plus, honestly, I don't want them to trade him, but I do want them to trade Max Crosby so my boy can just be free. And
facts,
you know. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely hear that side of it. And especially when it comes to, like, their running game not being great, their offensive line not being great.
They let Jacobs go, too. It's like, why did we let Josh Jacobs go? He was not broken.
Just pay the man, bro. But honestly, I love him on the Packers. Just say,
go Pack Go, baby. Go Pack Go. My favorite NFC team right now is the Packers. Currently, favorite NFC team, the Packers.
Same.
Shout out the Packers. Shout out fucking
Jordan Love,
LaFleur,
yeah.
Shout out Robert Sala. Shout out Robert Sala for sure.
Big facts. Big facts. Yeah, I mean, we'll just have to see how that goes. But I think I do agree with you. I like that he's getting another opportunity, and I want to be optimistic. But when you lay all the cards out there, I agree with that. That really, it's going to be quite an uphill climb for him to provide any sort of positive value to that team. But who knows? Yeah, we'll just have to see what happens. And at this point for the Raiders, it's like, obviously, like you said, maybe take a flyer on some of those different quarterbacks that have more potential, possibly. But I like that they're at least trying something. You know what I mean?
Right.
And if they suck, awesome. It's the Raiders. Cool.
Right.
I'm happy with that.
I mean,
I feel bad for my boy Gardner, though. I'm not going to lie. I feel really bad for Gardner. But I kind of like that it didn't work out there just so that he's not a Raider anymore. You know what I mean? Cause I can't,
he's out the league this year. And I mean that with all due respect, like,
have you seen that hair, bro? You can't toss somebody like that at the league.
He low key should still be in Jacksonville, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. But no, I agree with that.
Then Trevor Lawrence happened. Trevor Lawrence is a whole different podcast video, bro.
No, totally. Yeah, that's an interesting one to go through. I think for me, Gardner Minshew is, I view him as the next, like, Josh McCown. You know what I mean? Somebody who's like
really not great,
but he's going to stick around and like keep getting opportunities for a long time if he wants them, to me, because he's just like, although I say that, but like when you have games like you did coming in relief for Aiden, where you threw the three picks, that's rough, man.
See, like, if he just went out there and threw like 125 yards and like a very short touchdown just to ride out the game, like garbage time, like,
yeah.
You would have been right. But when you start throwing three interceptions, it's like, even as a backup quarterback, you can't even like just facilitate the game just enough to get us through it, my boy. Right. You know what I mean?
At least not add to the dumpster fire.
Like, we're already fucked up right now. Like, don't continue to then throw three interceptions in relief, my boy. Right. Like, damn.
Yeah. I hear that. Maybe it's just because I want him to stick around the league that I'm like gaslighting myself.
I feel you, dude. I feel you.
Yeah. But we'll have to see what happens with Desmond Ridder and the Raiders. So let's move on to our last story of the day. The Buccaneers losing both of their star receivers for the foreseeable future after Chris Godwin dislocated his ankle requiring surgery and Mike Evans suffered a hamstring injury that will likely keep him out until at least after their week 11 bye. Tough. Really tough for the Buccaneers. I think both of those guys are huge, huge pieces of their offense. We talked about how much I like Baker, but he's not the kind of guy, at least he hasn't shown that so far in his career, where he is going to drag a team that really doesn't have a whole lot of playmakers forward. Like, he's not just going to be that carrying guy. And so I think without those two huge weapons, this Buccaneers offense is going to start to really struggle. And I think you've seen that already so far. Obviously, I hope that they can figure it out. They've got some young pieces, but it's hard to understate just how good those two guys are and how much they mean to that Buccaneers team. So, you know, obviously, hope they can get healthy as soon as possible. Sucks for Chris Godwin coming off of a previous injury and then just getting injured right again. But I do want to mention, I saw a clip of right after the injury when he had everything, you know, the air cast and all that, and he was sitting on that cart and the camera's on him and you could see him mouth the words. It was something along, I can't remember the specific words, but it was something along the lines of like, back to work. And just to have that mentality, if that is what he said, because we obviously don't for sure know that. But if that is what he said, if that's the mentality he had, you got to respect that, like literally dislocating your ankle. You're sitting there in the air cast and immediately you're thinking about attacking it and trying to get back from that and starting the process. So I just have a ton of respect for that and felt like I wanted to mention that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And shout out Chris Godwin for just one. I mean, that's a devastating injury, not only for their offense and where they're like very much a team that is momentum built, you know what I mean? And they were really hot at the beginning of the year and the Broncos kind of sizzled them out a little bit. And then they kind of get a little bit hot again. And then, you know, then they just get stamped out by the Ravens. And so now you got a big clash with your division rival, the Falcons, this upcoming Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, now you're missing Mike Evans. Now you're missing Chris Godwin. And to me, Mike Evans is the bigger loss.
Bless you, my boy.
Excuse me. To me, Mike Evans is a bigger loss. I just feel like the connection that him and Baker had, and even more so, Mike Evans is a guy that you're throwing those big moon balls up to.
Right.
And you're just letting him, you know, make plays. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's a big, you know, classic version of a number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
You know, in the same build as like a Megatron, just big, overwhelming, tall guys. And so I think you're going to miss that presence, you know, and I agree with you 100%. I don't think that Baker is one of those guys that can Tom Brady or Peyton Manning make an Austin Colley, you know, kind of wide receiver. He's not that quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, he can definitely take care of the tools that he has around him if those have talent, but otherwise he's not one of those guys that's going to really take you to that next level. So I'm interested to see what happens with the Buccaneers. Hopefully they can get Mike Evans back sooner rather than later, but I would probably just let him hang out until after that bye, give him the extra time, and
hopefully you can just stay afloat. And then once he gets back, just really dig deep for the playoff run. You know what I mean?
Facts, man. And I will say, like, it does suck that unfortunately, most likely, unless he just absolutely shows out in those last few weeks of the season, this is going to end his 1,000-yard receiving season record or, like, streak.
Oh, which yep.
I can't even remember how many years, but I think it's over a decade long now.
Yeah, I think it's 10 years. Every year he's been in the league. So
every year,
like,
yeah.
Since his rookie year, yeah.
With no quarterback half the time.
With zero quarterbacks.
The fucking 30-30, was it 30-30 or 50-50 Jameis Winston season?
Yeah.
The 30 touchdown interception or whatever.
Yeah.
He is arguably in that Larry Fitzgerald category as well, where apart from obviously the years with Tom Brady, you can even argue with Baker that he really just has not had super great quarterbacks in his career and has still found a way to consistently produce, and not only produce, but produce at a superstar level. Which, to be honest with you, is like, just to track back a little bit to the conversation about like Cortland Sutton and stuff like that, is where I hesitate to give. I get that Mike Evans is like an anomaly, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's hard to judge everybody on that same scale. But I hesitate to give some of those guys as much grace when they're not producing without a quarterback, because, like, at least in terms of like, if you're going to try and put them into the superstar wide receiver category, you know what I mean? Right. If you're that dude, you're that dude. I mean, look at Justin Jefferson. Matter. Like, I know Sammy Dimes over there, he's doing his thing. He's having a pretty good season, but he's still fucking Sam Darnold. And Justin Jefferson is still having an incredible season. So if you're that dude, you're that dude. And Mike Evans is that dude. And hopefully he can come back soon and healthy. And like you said, at least make it back for the playoff run. But yeah. Anything else on that, Enrique?
Nah, dude. I'm just I'm gutted for my boy, and hopefully he comes back healthy. So, shout out those two gentlemen. Shout out Chris Godwin for having an attacking mentality about his injury rehab. And best of luck to the Bucks, but not too much luck, because go Pack, go. You know what I'm saying?
Facts. Indeed, my boy. All right. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Make sure to catch us on Tuesdays starting in the beginning of November for the full Mile High Flight Show experience. And check us out on YouTube, social media platforms, and wherever you get your podcasts. That's at MHFS Podcasts on Twitter and at Mile High Flight Show everywhere else. See you guys soon.
Later.